drawing room
over here.
Oh, hey, come on in. Joan Wasser started her career as a classically trained violinist, but her love of Hendrix, Bad Brains and Nina Simone saw her leave her classical roots and went on to play with a number of alt-rock and punk bands in the early 1990s. In 2004, Joan became Joan as Policewoman. Joan as Policewoman is currently on national tour with her latest album, Damned Devotion, and Joan joins me in the drawing room. Joan, welcome.
Hi.
Where did the name Joan as Policewoman come from?
Well. Funny you should ask. It is. It comes from a 70s cop show that ran from 74 to 76 starring Angie Dickinson called Policewoman. And I was wearing some sort of ridiculous three-piece polyester pantsuit from the 70s, and my friend Ruben saw me on the street and he said, "Joan, you are channeling Angie from Policewoman." And I was looking for a band name, so it stuck. I still got it. I still get the question, "Where did you get that name?" Because it's pretty silly.
It's pretty good too, though, right? People obviously ask because they're kind of, you know, envious.
Okay, great. That's what I want to hear, Patricia.
I think it's good. So you were classically trained.
Yeah.
How does it influence your music, that classical training? Or does it? Maybe it doesn't.
I mean, I'm sure it does, yes. I grew up hearing a lot of different kinds of harmonies in classical music. I grew up learning to listen very closely, especially playing the violin. You know, you don't have frets, so potentially every note is out of tune. I mean, your teacher will tell you pretty much every note you've ever played is out of tune. So it just gets your ears really, attuned to listening very closely. I mean, I don't really see classical music as so much different from popular music. It's got all the same stuff, and it's a bunch of people trying to make some sort of emotional feeling together. So, you know, moving into popular music that I was listening to at the same time, you know, as classical music, wasn't all that much of a leap, I guess.
Your latest album, Damned Devotion. How did that come about? Tell me about that album.
Well, I have gotten more into recording at my home studio in the past several years, and I started just doing more stuff there and just doing a lot of just experimentation, and I sort of turn on around midnight. And because I live in Brooklyn, New York, I can't be making tons of noise. So everything was quite quiet, you know, like a lot of the singing I did was quite soft, and any sort of playing I did would have to be under a certain level. So I feel like in a certain way, it's a very nocturnal record and quite, really sort of intimate. I mean, when I brought those tracks into the studio to finish it, that feeling continued, because anything too abrasive or loud wouldn't have fit with the tracks. So yeah, so there's that. And I mean, I just like that combination of doing stuff, you know, it's pretty lo-fi at my place, and then going into the studio and adding a lot more hi-fi, just like the combination of different kinds of sounds and way the sounds are created and recorded. That's really how this record feels to me.
Tell me about that. You say increasingly recording in your own home. Why is that something that you're doing more and more of?
Well, I've spent a lot of time in studios. I love being in the studio. And, now it's just the level of home recording, it's so high. What you can use, the interfaces and stuff that you can get, the quality is so high now. It's incredible. You can get amazing sounds for quite limited gear. having that luxury means I can spend 6 hours creating a kick drum sound without boring anyone to tears or being on the clock, you know? So, I mean, my obsessiveness can just be fully realized. I mean, that's one reason. But then the other thing that's great about it is that, like, for instance, when I'm doing vocals, nobody else is there with me.
And why is that good?
Well, because I will get a performance that I won't get anywhere else. It might not be as good as the performance as I get with the engineer in the room. I have people that I've been working with forever, so I have definitely a very high comfort level with them. But for certain situations, being able to just sing and have it just be me there, it's really key to getting the performance that I want.
On RN, I'm Patricia Carvalis. Singer-songwriter Joan as Policewoman is my guest in the drawing room. We're going to hear the first track from your album. What have you chosen for us?
I have chosen the track Tell Me.
Tell me about... Tell me. I know. Pretty good, right?
Yes. Thank you. It is about relationships. I mean, it could apply to any relationship, but in this case, it is about sort of romantic relationships. And, you know, the refrain is, tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you want? Tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you need? And, you know, it's something that I feel like we leave out of the conversation a lot and expect people to read our minds and stuff. I mean, that's true for me at least. So I have to constantly remind myself that I have to talk about what I want and what I need, and that I need to hear that from people that I in some way involved with. So a sort of reminder, and that it can... I mean, it can be really such a beautiful thing and not as awkward as it may seem.
Well, let's hear it. This is Joan as Policewoman with Tell Me from her latest album, Damn Devotion.
Tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you want? Tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you need? Tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you want? Tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you need? You know the science is free admission, so what do you say? You can start at the beginning. No one's listening at the door frame. You got to separate now. What's real? What's not? Tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you want? Tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you need? Tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you want? Tell me, tell me, tell me, what do you need?
That was Tell Me by Joan as Policewoman from the current album Damned Devotion. And she's my guest in the drawing room. There's another interesting thing you've done. I'd love to hear your thinking behind this. You recorded a woman's march chanting and used it in your song The Silence. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, it was a couple days after our unmentionable president had gotten into office, and millions of women showed up in Washington and marched way more than anyone expected. And, you know, it was something really necessary for us all to feel and also to be seen, through the media that, well, first of all, people were not happy. Everybody knew that already. But that there was like a huge swell of coming togetherness, which is something, you know, that can be hard to feel when you're in a country that feels like it's just been taken from you. So, I take a lot of, shall we call it, field recordings, you know, of a lot of different sounds, whether it be the chanting there or like of some crazy thing that's happening in the New York City subway system. So I had been writing this song called The Silence, with the refrain, "It's the silence that's dulling the blade," about being vocal and the necessity of being vocal. And, I had written the song before I went to the march. And then when I got back, I mean, everyone felt really fortified from that event. I listened to it and I thought, oh man, I could put this in the song and really, like, you know, tie it together in a different way. And indeed, I ended up doing that. And, it's really important. The women's marches, you know, thankfully there was also a lot of men there supporting. So the chant in there is "My body, my choice, her body, her choice," which is men and women supporting the rights of women everywhere, which supports the rights of everyone.
Do you always thread real life events or politics in this case when you're writing your music? Is that a common thread?
I write from my experience, so yes. I'm not necessarily, you know, if there's a story in the song, it's a story from my life. So, absolutely, I do. Whether it's politically obvious is sort of up to you.
You know? You decide.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always ask my musical guests to pick a song that they love. What have you chosen for us?
I chose "I Want You Back" by David Ruffin. This record was recorded in the late 60s, early 70s, and wasn't released till 2004. The bass player I play with, who's named Jacob Silver, who's a genius at the bass and other things, he alerted me to this record. This song that was written by Berry Gordy, I think it was written by The Corporation, which is a bunch of songwriters from Motown, was made popular by the Jackson 5 in, I don't know, 1970. But this recording is so outrageously good. I have listened to this song over and over, just listening to one instrument at a time, and I literally have burst into tears. The level of playing is so beyond anything like you ever hear. You know, it's the guys that did all the Motown tracks, so it's outrageously good. It feels amazing. The fact that there's an adult singing it rather than a child just feels wonderful. You know, so that's the song. That's a push, right? That's a serious push.
It is. I like how you did that. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been great to talk to you.
My pleasure.
Joan as Policewoman has been tonight's drawing room guest. Her new album is Damned Devotion. Now let's have a listen to the track Joan's picked for us. This is "I Want You Back" by David Ruffin from the album called Unreleased.
I didn't want you around. Those pretty faces always made you stand out in a crowd. Then someone picked you from the bunch. One glance is all it took.